Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are real. And we pray that you'll speak to us this evening for Christ's sake. Amen. In the first part, there's two prayers. There's a prayer where Paul thanks God about what is happening in the life of the Colossians. And then there's a second prayer where he makes a petition. And that's what we'll be looking at tonight. And of course, the author says that they may grow in wisdom and understanding. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9, and we will be studying it under the theme of filled with the knowledge of the will of God. My question to you tonight is, what do you pray for? When you pray, what do you pray for? What is important to you so that you can bring it into prayer before God? Let's imagine that God were here tonight. Physically here, right? Not that he's not here, but physically here. And he says, "Oh, Fidel, what do you want from me? What can I do for you?" What would your answer be? You see, we have many, many answers to that question. Maybe you will say, "I want to have money to pay my rent." Or maybe you will say, "I want to finish my studies." Or maybe you say, "I have a problem with so-and-so, and so I want to fix that." But whatever you will say will be a reflection of what is a priority to you. So when I ask you, what do you pray for? Chances are you probably had one or two things on top of your mind. Because for you, those are priorities. Those are important things. And so generally speaking, our prayers reflect what our priorities are. So when we are praying for ourselves or for somebody else, in our prayer we will reflect what we think are important things, which we'll probably pray for, and what we think are not important things, which we'll probably not pray for. And so in Colossians chapter 9, verse 10, Paul talks about his prayer. This actually goes to about verse 14. So the first part, verse 3 to verse 8, Paul is thanking God, is giving thanks to God over the news that he heard, that the Colossians are doing well. Now remember, this is a church he didn't start. This is a church he didn't even know the people. One person who heard Paul preach in the city of Ephesus, Epaphras, went back home to the city of Colossae and started a church there. And so Epaphras and Paul met in Rome, and Epaphras gave Paul a report of the church. And so Paul was very joyful that the gospel could do that kind of work in their life. And so verse 3 to verse 8, which is the passage we looked at last week, Paul is thanking God. Verse 9 to 10, Paul is making a petition. Now, of course, it goes to verse 14, as I said. He's making a petition in two parts. And his first part is really, he's saying to God, "I want you to help these people to know you more. I want them to be filled with the knowledge of your will." And the goal, of course, is that they may live a life that is right, a life that is worthy of their Lord. A good question is, why does Paul share his prayer points with them? Why does he tell them that this is what I'm praying for you? He could have just kept quiet. He could have said, "I pray God over you. That's all. I pray God on your behalf. Every time I think about you." And then he stops there. Why does he say, "This is what I ask God for you"? Well, he says that because for Paul, whatever he's making as a petition ought to be the priority in their lives. Like I said earlier on, if you had God in front of you today and you said, "Hey, what do you want me to do for you? Or what do you want me to do for your friend?" What you would ask him is what you think is important. What do you think ought to be the priority? And in the case of Paul here, he thinks the priority of the church in Colossae, of every single Christian in Colossae, ought to be to get to know the will of God so as they will live correctly, so as they will live right, so as they will live a life that pleases God. He doesn't think having money is the priority. He doesn't even think, remember, he's in prison. So he doesn't even think his own safety, no, their safety is the priority. No, he thinks the main priority is for them to get to know God, God's will, and live the right way. I think by ricochet, that's what Paul thinks ought to be the priority of every Christian. As we read from his prayer, we of course learn some principle about prayer, and we'll come back to it later on. But we also get to know some of his priorities. What Paul thinks every Christian ought to consider some of his highest or top priority. And for Paul here in verse 9 and 10, is every single Christian should put the knowledge of the will of God very high on their list of things they want to see happen in their life. And the result of that knowledge is not so as they can boast and say, I have a doctorate in the knowledge of the will of God, or I have a master's in the knowledge of will of God. No, no. The goal of it is practical. He says, so as I can live a life that pleases God. So as I can live a life that makes God happy. And that's my goal this evening. My goal is to encourage us, to call us, to invite us to share that same priority. We're at the beginning of the year, 2019. Many people are making New Year's resolution. Many people have planned for 2019. Well, I hope this will be on top of your plan. I hope 2019 will be, I want to get to know the will of God more so as I can live for Him. Well, what that kind of life look like? What is a life that is lived in this manner? Is that kind of priority according to Paul? Now, he has two verses, and that's 2 points for us. The first point is filled with the knowledge of the will of God. That's verse 9. So for Paul, a life that is lived with this priority will be a life that is continuously filled with the knowledge of the will of God. The second thing, it is a life that is lived in a manner worthy of the Lord, in a manner worthy of Jesus, and that's verse 10. So first point, filled with the knowledge of the will of God. Look at verse 10. You see, verse 9, sorry. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, of course, I've already mentioned this, that Paul came to this church. Well, Paul didn't even know this church. Epaphras told him about this church. He's never met them. He doesn't even know their name. And yet, notice, he says, when we heard about you, we start asking God ceaselessly that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding and wisdom. First of all, we learn something about prayer here. Did you notice that? He says, we have not ceased to pray for you. It is not a sporadic prayer. So it's not like I pray today and then I pray again after 3 months and then I pray again after 1 year. He says, we have not. It's continuous. Paul is continuously interceding for them. Paul is praying for people he doesn't even know. If you look at your prayer, who do you pray for? On a percentage, if you have to rate your prayer 100%, out of 100%, how many times do you pray for yourself? 75%. How many times do you pray for your family? 20%. How many times do you pray for people you work with or for? Well, maybe 5%. And that's it. So we tend to pray for people we know. We tend to pray for ourselves most. And then for people we know. And notice Paul is saying, no, he's praying for people he doesn't even know. So as Christians, we are not only called to pray for ourselves, we're called to pray for those who have come to know Jesus, those we know and those we don't know. What is he asking God for then? Well, he says, I'm asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will. Paul wants the Colossians to get to know the will of God. To get to know what God wants. The will of God is what God wants. The word will comes from the word, from the verb want, desire. What does God desire? What does God want? What's God's intention? What's God's will? And he says, I want you to know it. I want you to know what is it that God wants. Of course, with the result of you doing it. Notice he says, I want you to be filled with that knowledge. So for Paul, there's a way in which you can know exactly what God wants, but not look at the word. He says, filled. It's a progressive process. Is you will know a little bit today, and then we'll know a little bit more tomorrow, and you'll know a little bit more after tomorrow, and you keep knowing and you keep being filled. It's not a once-off event, it is a continuous process. And notice he says, how do you get to know God's will? He says, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul recognizes the work of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 8. He says, he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Which really meant the love that is birthed by the Spirit of God. And so here Paul says, if you want to know the will of God, it's not just by mere human wisdom or mere human understanding. No, it is spiritual wisdom, spiritual understanding. The Spirit of God should be at work helping you know the will of God, helping you understand the will of God, helping you be able to live out the will of God. Now, the word wisdom is literally learning how to live right. If you remember when you're in primary school, you had a subject, or you know, every time the teacher will say, okay, now we're not talk about how to live right. Now I'm gonna use that, I'm gonna speak say that in French, because that'll probably remind you of a lot of things. Savoir vivre. You had a whole thing for a whole year of savoir vivre. And savoir vivre is how do you live right? Well, they tell you when you're in primary school, when you find adult, you always say, bonjour, monsieur. Good day, sir. You don't say, bonjour. When somebody gives you something, you say, thank you very much. You don't just say, And when you're asking something, they teach you the key word, the magical word. Please, can I have something? And so here he's talking about spiritual wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to live right, to know what to do, how to do it. To live the right way. He talks about understanding. That's in the head, right? It's concept. It's knowledge. It's being able to process it. And so Paul says, well, the will of God, you come to have the knowledge of the will of God through the work of the Spirit in helping you get the concept right and to live those concepts right. Now let me quickly stop here for like 1 or 2 minutes. And say that the New Testament does affirm that we can get to know the will of God. The New Testament says that in many places that Christians can get to know the will of God. Now I want to bring your attention to the fact that Paul here is talking to Christian. Notice verse 2. He says to the saint and faithful brother in Christ at Colossae. He's not talking to non-Christian, non-believers. So it is possible for believers to know exactly what is it that God wants them to do so as they can live in the right way. And that's our second point, isn't it? The goal of this knowledge, the reason you will know what God wants, is not so as you can have degree in the knowledge of God, no. It's so as you can live the right way. You can live a life worthy of the Lord. Verse 10. So as, right? Like, tells you the goal. Why do you need to learn all these things? The goal is so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul says, what's the result? What's the end result? Well, the end result is you are living a life that is worthy of the Lord. You are already God's children, you belong to His family, but it is possible that you don't live in a manner that is worthy of your status. Many of you may have or may have not seen the movie called Little Princess Diary. And literally, there was a young girl who was a princess, but she didn't know. And then one day, she found out. And she was brought into the palace of the king, and the father was to inherit the kingdom. And literally, the whole movie is they are teaching this little girl how to live as a princess. Was she not a princess before she got to the castle? She was. Her father was a prince, and then eventually the king. She was a princess. But she just didn't know how to live right. She didn't live as a princess. It is possible for Christians who are God's children, who are bought by the blood of Jesus, who are redeemed by Jesus, to not live as God's children, to live in a manner that is not worthy of the Lord. And for Paul, that happened because you don't understand the will of God. So you understand, you seek to understand the will of God so as you can live as a child of God. Not so as you can become a child of God. I mean, salvation happens through faith in Christ. It doesn't happen through pleasing God and good works. You can't even please God unless you've put your faith in Christ. But once you're a child of God, you can now live in a way that makes God smile. And look there, that's what he says, isn't it? A life worthy, he says, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. A life lived in a manner worthy of the Lord is a life that is fully pleasing to him. Everything you do, God is happy with it. It is a life where you are bearing fruit in every good work. It is a life where every day you are increasing in the knowledge of God. Sometimes, I must say, sometimes people like us, we downplay the place of good works in the life of a Christian. Because we say people come to faith by grace, it is by grace you have been saved, it's not because of your work, it is a work of God. And I agree. Coming to salvation, coming to have faith in Jesus, coming to have a good standing with God has nothing to do with what I do. But once I am a child of God, I cannot but do good works. I don't do good works to become a child of God. I do good works because that's who I am. I am a child of God. And that's what he says there. A life pleasing to God is a life bearing fruit in every kind of good work. Now, me and you, we like a list there, isn't it? We like a list. Tell me, what is good work? Tell me five things that are good work. Give me a list of 10 people. He says, no. Bearing fruit in every kind of good work. There'll be tons and tons of good work. As long as they're good works. All right, let's put all this thing together. Our time is gone. Some of the things we've learned is really that on top of our priority, on top of every Christian's priority, there ought to be the knowledge of the will of God so as we can live in a manner worthy of our Lord, so as we can be pleasing to him, so as we can bear fruit in every good work, so as we can get to know him more every day. God wants us to get to know him more. So my question to you tonight is the knowledge of the will of God a top priority for you? So you may ask me, yes, it is a priority, but how do I get to know the will of God? Well, the Bible is very clear. You cannot get to know the will of God outside of his word. It's like a friend, right? You have a friend and you're walking with your friend. How do you get to know what your friend wants and what he likes? Well, you ask him, what do you like? What do you want? And for us, God has given us his word. As you read through the Bible, you get to know the things that God wants and the things that he doesn't want. The things that he likes and the things that he doesn't like. And I've mentioned this before again, and let me say this, and I can never say this enough. We don't do this to gain favors with God. No, we do this, and remember, he's writing to a church. He's not saying to that church, you are not Christian, but unless you please God, then you become Christian. No, he's saying, you are already saints. You are already children of God. You are accepted by God. Then seek to live in a manner that is worthy of the Lord. So for Christians, for me and you, if we have put our faith in Jesus, our top priority should be to get to know what is it that God wants and how can I use that to live a life that pleases Him. Because sometimes that probably is not even on our top priority. Sometimes we come to church and the only thing that people in our context want is blessing. They want blessing. So they say, I'm coming to church because I want God's favors. Now Paul didn't say, I pray that God will fill you with His favors. He didn't say that. I pray that God will pour His favors upon you. He didn't say that. He says, I pray that God will help you get to know His will. And so the top priority for us, for me, for you, ought to be, I want to get to know the will of God. And how do I get to know the will of God? It's because it's as I'm in the Word of God. Romans 12 verse 2. Now we don't have time to read that. But he talks about the renewing of your mind. So as you'll be able to discern, as you go around your work at school or at home, you will be able to discern what is the will of God for you in that particular context. What is it that God would want me to do? Let me quickly give an example as we close. Most of the time when you have, as a pastor, most of the time when I have question about the will of God, it's usually around death. So when people die, why did my parents die? Why did my mom die? Why did somebody die? Sometimes it's also around major choices like marriage. Who must I marry? There's two ladies that I like. There's Aline and there's Esperance or whatever. Now, how do I know that Aline is the one from God? How do I know Esperance is the one from God? Must I now sit and wait for a big voice to say, you must take Aline or you must take Esperance? So people come to pastors anyway, hoping that it will be easier. So the pastor will just choose. And I wish I could do that. But I always say to them, what do you think God wants? What do you think God's will is for you? And they think I'm like, what do you think God's plan for your future is? And I'm like, no. What do you think God wants you to do so He will be happy? And I say, well, there's many passages in the Bible. But I know that, like 1 Timothy 2 says, God's will is for all people to come to know Him. So God wants me to be involved in the sharing of the gospel somehow. I know that God wants me to live a life of thankfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, God's will is that you will give thanks. And then he says again in the same 1 Thessalonians, God's will is that I'll be sanctified. What does God want? He wants me to live in a life that is different from the world, that is set apart for Him. So now I take all those three, and there's many other passages. I take all those and I put them together, right? And I say, okay, between Aline and Esperance, who's the woman who's going to help me share the gospel with people? Who's the woman who's going to help me stay on my track with God and grow? Who's the woman who's going to help me keep thankfulness every time and say, oh, thank you, God? And I think it will be clear. Very clear. Because then you'll start realizing, this one, she doesn't like Jesus and whatever. And it's clear. So you don't need a voice. You just need to understand. But you can't do that unless you are in the Word of God. You can't do that unless you have renewed your mind with the Word of God, and therefore you are able to discern between a job in the city of Uvira and a job in Bukavu. Uvira pays me a lot of money. Bukavu pays me very little money. But which of these jobs is helping me love my neighbor? He's helping me thank God and worship Him. He's helping me stay sanctified, as it says there. You see, and all of a sudden it's clear. Chances are when you make that choice, you don't even seek to know what is God's will here. You are like, which one of those jobs pay well? And so let me challenge you tonight to try and seek to know God's will for your life. It's bowed heads. The good news is that Jesus has rescued you and brought you close to God. The good news is that Jesus has done it all, and there's nothing you can do to be right with God but trust in what Jesus did. The good news is that you now belong to Jesus, and therefore you are a child of God. Now the question is, how do you live as a child of God? How do you live in a manner that will make God smile? In a manner that is pleasing to God? Well, Paul says, you get to know the will of God. So let me ask you, is the knowledge of the will of God a top priority in your life? Is pleasing God something very important to you? You see, the priority in my life and your life as Christian, as children of God, as those rescued by Jesus, ought to be to know the knowledge, to know the will of God, to have a deeper knowledge of the will of God, so as we may live in a manner that pleases Him. Is that your case? I started by asking you, if God were here tonight, what would you ask Him to do for you? I hope that now you will say, Lord, I want to know you more so as I can live for you. Father, we come to you this evening and we recognize that we never ask such question. We never really seek to get to know what you want so as we can live for you. We live for other things. We live for money so as we can earn as much as we can. We live for people to worship us and rejoice over our success. We live for many, many other things, but not with the goal to pleasing you. So I pray for myself. I pray for the brothers here. I pray, Lord, that from today onward, your Spirit will convict us. The only thing that ought to be our priority is to seek to please you. And for us to please you, we need to know what is it that you want. So help us tonight, for Christ's sake.